Well, today we are talking about growing spiritually, and we're in a series called The Genesis Experience. And one of the things that we wanted to do with this series was to highlight some things and to explain some things, get it recorded, get it on our website, so in the future as people attend Genesis or have questions about Genesis, or if they go to one of the Genesis presentations and they're thinking about becoming a partner and they have questions about Genesis, specifically some things we may mention, we can say, hey, go to the website. There's some sermons there that explain some things. And one of the things that we wanted to get recorded and try to just walk people through, and many of you are already aware of this, is the five levels of spiritual growth. Now, I spent a lot of time on this object lesson, okay? And so, we spare no expense here at Genesis. High quality everything, especially object lessons. And I'm going to walk you through some things here in just a moment, but before we dive into this, I want us to take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Now, as I read this, I'm going to read several verses, but I want you to notice and pay attention to the spiritual growth language, okay, that's in this this text here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers." Let me stop right here for just a moment. Now, over time, since day one of the church, the New Testament church was started, God has been providing various leaders and people to help mature and grow the church and minister to the church. And he just listed some of them there for you. Then in verse 12... Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So now, one of the responsibilities that I have as a pastor, that all the pastors have, that all the elders have, is to equip and train or provide some way for you to be able to do whatever God's called you to do better. Okay, to build up the church, to be involved in a ministry, whether that's at your workplace, in your home life, or officially through Genesis in some way or some other ministry. Verse 13, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature," there's that growth language, "that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." So obviously one of the primary purposes or one of the desires that God has for you as an individual and for us as a church is for us to spiritually grow. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there's a bulletin, and inside that bulletin, most of these scriptures that I'll be looking at today are there for you. Colossians 1, 28 says, "We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ." That's the goal. Okay, here at Genesis, our goal is not to make you happy. Even though we want you to be happy, okay? we don't want to make you mad, all right? Our goal is to provide an environment, to provide opportunities, whether that's in a life group or whether that's in a ministry or whether that's at a conference, whether that's at a trip, whether that's just whatever God leads us with, is to help stretch you, to help challenge you. Some cases, we will warn you that you need to be careful with what you're doing. That seems spiritually unhealthy for you. But our goal is to help produce mature believers. Okay, that's the end result of what we're trying to do. So today I want to introduce you to these five stages of spiritual growth. Now, let me give you some thoughts before we dive into this. Everyone without exception is in one of these five stages. Everybody here today, you, the person sitting next to you, you're in one of these five. Everybody on the planet is in one of these five stages. Now, next week, we're going to talk about some evangelism stuff, and we're going to really hone in on the seeker, okay? This is the guy who doesn't know Christ yet, who's what the Bible calls lost, and we'll look at that briefly in a moment. But next week, we're going to spend the whole time just on him or her, okay? So everyone without exception is in one of these five stages. Knowing where you are in these stages helps you know what you need to grow. So as we go through this morning, here's what you need to do, okay? You know, you can take notes and do whatever grabs your heart and your attention, which I think you should. But one of the things you really need to do is identify where you think you are. As we go through these, as we describe them, look at some scripture, you need to say, okay, wow, I am, that's me, that's where I'm at. And then pay attention to some things that we're going to recommend, or I'm going to recommend today, about how to go to the next level, how to grow, okay? So pay attention to that. Where are you? Knowing where others might be in these stages helps you help them grow. So if you are trying to minister to someone, it does help to identify, oh, they seem to be in this particular stage of their spiritual growth, which means I need to provide this for them, or I can guide them in this, or I can recommend this to them, help them move on. You know, it's obviously physically when we're taking a look at people biologically when they're growing. You know, I've got in my home, I've got people at all kinds of stages of physical growth. I mean, I've got two granddaughters, you know, one's still crawling around, one's walking, you know, and I've got an 18-year-old son. Then I got, you know, a couple of folks in my house that are in their 20s, and then Pam and I, okay? And if her folks move in, well, then it just goes up to another level on the age, okay? All right, so here's the thing. You got all these stages. Well, physically, it's easy to identify where people are, and you can, if you see my granddaughter, who June, the youngest one, you know that, well, okay, you're going to have to feed her, you're going to have to clothe her, you're going to change her diaper, those kinds of things. But now, if I were to take that concept and apply it to my 6'5", 270-pound 18-year-old, we're going to have some issues, you understand? Okay. You know, and I realize that in the real world, there are times where people, they're born with certain handicaps, and as they get older, mentally or physically, they just can't do things for themselves, and you have to do those things. But that's not the norm, okay? The norm is that God wants you to grow, but spiritually, He gives us this illustration of life that is an illustration of, well, I want you to grow spiritually as well, and there are certain things that people need along the way, just like biological ages need them. And you can help them if you're able to identify that. Now, a person may be more spiritually mature in one area in their life than another. Now, what that means is, for example, there may be some people who are really applying the Bible, the scripture, and seeking God's will with their finances. And so, man, they understand the biblical principles of financial management. And so they're applying that, and they're very faithful with that, and they're worshiping God with that. But at the same time, they may be very immature when it comes to speaking words of encouragement to people. They may be very sarcastic. They may be very rude, or, you know, they just are insensitive with their words. So they're very mature, and they might be mature in one area, but not another. Okay, so when you're looking at your life, you may identify, "Wow, I'm at a very early stage, but I am pretty mature in this area." And so you can see where you might need some work. And once a person grows into a new stage, does not necessarily mean they stay there. For example, if you identify that you're in this stage, which we'll explain in a moment, and you grow to this stage, the Bible uses a word and some other words that talks about backsliding. You know what I'm saying? You slide back, all right? And so there, you can grow for a while and then move back to an earlier stage. This is an endurance thing. You got to stay at it or you'll lose it. There is one exception when it comes to the backsliding. And that is, once you move to this stage, you cannot backslide to being lost again. The Bible's real clear that once you are born again, you cannot become unborn again. So, for example, June, who's my granddaughter, she's born. It's never going to be a time in her life where she's unborn. She's been born, okay? Not going back into mama's womb, okay? It's not going to happen, okay? And I don't think Jasmine wants her to go back into her womb. Jazz was saying, "Please do not talk about my womb in front of all these people." when you are family or close friends to the preacher, you are free game. Okay? Okay, all right, here's what we're going to do. Now, for the next few minutes, we're going to walk through these five stages. So let's talk about the first stage. The first stage we call is the seeker. This person is exploring truth. Now, they are looking for meaning in life. Even though they may be exploring truth, and even though they may be looking for meaning in life, they are still in spiritual darkness. The Bible is clear that this person is lost. And now, it doesn't mean that they're seeking God, because the Bible's clear about this as well. Nobody really seeks God. Even when they think they're seeking God, that's really God drawing them to himself, okay? But however, even if they're not seeking God, and they're just simply seeking meaning in life and significance and why they're here, and they're trying to figure, they're in search of something. Okay, they may be in search of happiness, they may be in search of joy, or they may be in search of the perfect marriage, or whatever it is that they think is the rainbow in the sky for them. But they're seeking something. So we call them the seeker. Now, the Bible describes this first stage in several ways, and I'm just going to give you three. The first one is seen in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, where the Bible says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, and you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world." Now listen to me, most seekers don't see themselves as obeying the devil and dead in sin and lost and in darkness and all that kind of stuff, but the reality is that's where they are. We all start here as a seeker. At some point, whether you were raised in church or not, we all start there as the seeker. But the Bible describes us as just simply being spiritually dead. Okay. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." So here the Bible describes the seeker as somebody who is lost. Okay? And Jesus made it clear, "I came to seek and save those who are lost." That's who he's after. Okay. In Luke 15, 10, the Bible says, "There is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents." Now, you know, the word sinner, that's a word we don't like to use, you know. It's just kind of, even in churches, I don't know why. Some churches, they don't use that word very often. And when we talk about the sinner, it's usually in a very negative, condescending way. But in reality, we all start off that way, okay? We all start off as sinners. We all rebelled against God in some way. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Our role as disciple makers is to build a relationship with the seeker, to help them become a believer, which is the next stage. To help them, we have to build a relationship with the seekers in our life. You're going to have to, now listen to me, you're going to have to love them as they are. Okay? A seeker is a seeker. Okay? They're blind spiritually, they're dead spiritually, and they're going to say things about God. They're going to say things about Jesus. They're going to say things about other stuff that's just going to annoy the mess out of you at times. You're going to feel disrespected. You're going to take it personally. But you got to understand, that's their view at this point. Okay? And you just need, again, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, you don't criticize a blind man for being blind. Okay? You don't criticize a lost person for being lost. Okay, you just simply have to love them, point them to Jesus, share the gospel with them, share the truth of Jesus with them, let the Holy Spirit work on them in their life, and he will draw them to himself, okay? You just simply are the messenger. 1 Peter 3:15, talking about our reaction to the seeker, is that it says this, "You must worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks about your Christian hope," that someone is going to be the seeker. "If someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way." Okay? So if they ask tough questions, or if they're trying to push your button, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and they're trying to get you upset as a Christian, you know, or they're asking weird questions, you don't just be gentle and respectful. And the reason why I believe Peter in 1 Peter 3 says to us, be respectful and gentle, is because I think he understands that Christians have a tendency to get angry at people who ask stupid questions from our perspective. We think they're stupid. And so, but it's not to the seeker. They're really having real questions. They're not trying to be mean most of the time. They're seeking an answer to something they cannot rationalize, they cannot connect. So you may be at a seeker today. You're not a follower of Jesus. You're not born again. You're thinking about the whole God thing. You're thinking about heaven and hell. You're thinking about Jesus, and that's where you're at. And so if you're there today and you have questions, we would love to answer them. There's that welcome card in front of you. You can fill that thing out, drop it off at the, just put it in the offering plate, the offering box today, and we'll contact you if you have any questions. Or if you want to hang around for lunch and just shoot the breeze, we'll be glad to sit down with you and just talk about it today. All right, once a person becomes born again and a follower of Jesus, they immediately enter into stage two. We call this stage the believer. At this stage, they are discovering truth. Everything is new to them. Now listen, I mean everything is new. Even if they've been raised in church all their life, when you become a believer, you begin to see things a little bit differently. So worship's a little bit differently. You know, prayer is a little bit different. Reading the Bible becomes new. You know, sharing your faith becomes new. And, you know, just whatever is going on in your Christian life is just, you know, is all new. It just there's new light shining in on the situation in your life. Now, if you are not raised in church and around Christians and you become a believer and you become saved and you enter into it's really new to you. You know, it's a whole nother culture, church culture. There's kind of this church language. There's this Bible. There's a lot of Bible stories. And depending on how little you know, the more new it's going to be to you. And that's okay. That's totally normal. Okay, and it's okay to not know where stories are in the Bible or not have heard the story or you don't know how to get to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. That's okay. It's all new. We know some of us have been there. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life." So babies in Christ, they are born again. They are on their way to heaven. But here's what Paul is saying to these Corinthian believers. He says, look, I couldn't tell the difference. When I'm talking to you, I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people over here. I had to talk to you like somebody still part of the world that sometimes there's very little difference in the way a person talks and behaves from this stage to that stage. And so a lot of times a believer is so new, man, they're still smoking. They've still been struggling with that alcohol thing. You know, they're still struggling with that pornography. They're still struggling with treating their wife or their husband with respect and gently. They're still struggling with that anger thing, man. They go from 0 to 60 quick emotionally. You know, they just got some issues, man. You know, and so you're around them and they do certain things and you're thinking, I thought you were Christian. I thought you were saved. You know better than that. And he's going, okay. I guess that's true. I guess I probably need to think about some of this stuff. You know, maybe getting drunk's not a good idea. You understand what I'm saying? Getting high is not a good idea. You know, settling my issues with people by beating them up, maybe that's not a good idea, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Or verbally abusing people. And so, but they're still going to have a lot of baggage in their life over here. And so Paul is saying the believer sometimes is going to look very lost. He says, it's like I can't even talk to you like a spiritual person. I've talked to you like you still belong in the world. So the baby in Christ, when we say a baby in Christ, we don't necessarily mean simply new to the faith. It just means they haven't grown very far. And this person could be 40 years old, been going to church for 20 years, but they just haven't grown very much. Now for the believer, they don't think biblically very often. They make decisions based on how it makes them feel or how it makes them look in front of others. They don't filter decisions through the scripture. They make decisions on how they feel or through the five senses, what they see, what they taste, you know, what they hear, what they see. It's very sensual to them. They haven't learned how to say, well, here's what the Bible says, here's what I need to do, regardless of how I feel. Okay, they haven't got that far yet. They still have a lot of their bad habits. They still make a lot of bad decisions, and they make a lot of mess in their life. They're still, spiritually speaking, they're still going to poop in their diapers. Okay? And so the more mature folks, the spiritual adults in their life, sometimes if you're involved with somebody that's a believer that's messy in their life, sometimes you have to clean up after them. Not enable them, okay, but clean up after them. Because they do create a lot of emotional mess. You know, they can do a lot of damage. And they can stink up a room real quick, if you understand what I'm saying. The great thing about these spiritual infants is that they are usually hungry for God's word. They want to learn. I mean, there is a desire there. But again, they don't know how to feed themselves. They have to be fed spiritually. Somebody has to sit down with them and say, okay, we're going to take a look at this. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what it means. They have to be spoon-fed. Okay, but they do have that hunger there. 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. So as disciple makers, to help them grow, these spiritual infants need us to nurture them with God's word and good examples. They need to be fed the basics of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, how to get the most out of the Bible, how to talk to God, how to listen to God, you know, just real basic stuff, okay? That's what the believer needs. Now, if the believer continues to grow, they move into the third stage, which we call the learner. At this point, they understand the basic aspects of following Jesus. Spiritually speaking, they can feed themselves and they can dress themselves spiritually. They understand they need to put on acts of kindness, and they're aware that they need to have acts of love, and they need to show mercy. They need to dress, they can dress themselves spiritually. But they can also open the Bible and they can read it, and they are hearing from God, and they're able to communicate back and forth with the Heavenly Father. They are learning. They're spiritual children, as we will see. They're not infants. They're children. But as a child, they are still very self-centered and selfish. Now, here's the thing. You know, we're all struggle with self-centeredness, and you know, at this age and this age. But even when they get this far into it as a learner, they're still a spiritual child. They may know the Bible stories. They may help out with ministry from time to time, and that you can see moments to where they are very giving, just like you can a little child. However, when you take something away or something changes their life, they're still concerned more about themselves than others. They're still very focused on who they, what they need, where their life is at, what's theirs, and don't take it away, rather than thinking about others. Very still self-centered. Now again, what you have here is a believer who is probably at this point, as in the learner stage, they're going to church, they might be in a life group, they're reading the Bible, they could be having a devotion, you know, they have times where they are giving in some way and serving others, but in reality, they're very high maintenance. They get upset quick if they don't get what they want. They still think the church all is wrapped around them, that needs to be to fit their needs, you know. At work, they get upset if something happens that affects their world and it makes it more difficult. The word sacrifice, the word, you know, the phrase going the extra mile, that's not a part of who they are yet. Okay? They're spiritual children. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. Notice what John writes. He says, I'm writing to you who are God's children. Now, he's not talking to 7-year-olds. He's talking to children in the faith who might be 40. And he says, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. And then he jumped down to verse 14. He addresses them again. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. Matter of fact, in this 1 John chapter 2, he talks to babies or infants, and he talks to children, and he talks to the adults. And we'll see this in a moment. So here in 1 John chapter 2, he says, I'm writing to you who are God's children. Now, I want you to notice that he says, I'm writing to you because, and he just gives some basic stuff here. He says, look, you know that your sins have been forgiven, okay? You know who your Heavenly Father is. You can carry on a communication with him. You can carry on. That's the implication of 1 John chapter 2 in that that phrase, young children. But however, in some translations, they're called... Oh, no, that's young adult. Oh, never mind. Erase what I just said the last 15 seconds. Okay. As disciple makers, we need to provide guidance for the learners. Now, we're going to need to provide guidance for every single one of these guys, okay, or gals, and especially the learner. They're going to need guidance. A spiritual child can eat meat. They can take some heavy theology. They're wrestling with some serious stuff in their life. They're beginning to recognize things in their life that they didn't notice beforehand, and they're noticing some, you know, tension in what they believe and what they're seeing or what they thought was true, and then what they're learning in the Bible that's, wow, that contradicts what they used to believe. And now, wow, the Bible says this, but I used to believe that. What do I do with this? You know, they're struggling with that kind of stuff. And they're beginning to see in their own life more and more sins, but they know they're forgiven, but now they're struggling with, wow, I'm seeing the selfishness. As they're growing, they begin to see the selfishness. They're seeing the junk in their life, and they're needing some guidance and encouragement and help in learning these things. And so at the children, at the learner stage, at the spiritual child stage, that learner, man, they really need a lot of encouragement, okay? Now, number four, if they continue to grow, they will move into what's called the server stage. This group, they are applying the truth. You could call them the spiritual young adults. And I believe we can describe this group with three words. It's not on your outline, but I'm going to give them to you. Here's three words that catches this group. First of all, the first word is change. Now, at this stage, they have grown tremendously from where they started. You can see the difference. It's obvious. God has changed them so much that when people meet them who used to know them, they'll say, man, you've changed. Or when people who meet them after they've grown spiritually and they hear their testimony and they hear what they used to do or what they used to be involved in, people will say, I can't even imagine you being that way. That doesn't sound like you at all. It's hard for me to believe that you used to do that because they've changed so much. They have grown. And as we'll see in a moment, this particular level of spiritual growth, they have had battles with the devil and they've won. They've tasted not just victory in salvation of getting saved and going to heaven. No, they've grown to the point to where now they are winning some temptation battles. They're winning some issues in their life. They're making progress. They can look back and they say, man, God delivered me from this and this and this, and I have grown, and I no longer do that, and I used to do that. They've tasted that victory. The second word for the server would be ministry. They are becoming intentional and strategic about sharing their faith and ministry to others. They are hungry to help. They're no longer self-centered. Man, they're really, in their mindset, they are passionately in love with Jesus. They've tasted that victory. They've grown spiritually. They want others to know about Jesus. They want to pour and invest their life into them. They're sacrificing. They give up things in order to go on mission trips or to help with the church or get involved in the ministry in the community. They're building relationships with people at work. I mean, they're doing things they are an other-focused mindset. I mean, they really want to be a blessing. They don't want to be a burden to anybody. They are here to encourage, to motivate, to bless, to assist in some way. So change in ministry. And the third word describe this group is energy. Man, they are zealous for God, and they are enthusiastic about ministry. They usually bring energy and activity to the church and ministry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. As something done for the Lord and not for men. I mean, this stage, they just do that. That's how they are. Man, they're on fire. That's usually what we'd say. Man, they're on fire for Jesus, you know. So look carefully at the middle of 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, where John says this. I am writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. Now jump down to the middle of verse 14. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. These young in the faith can also be translated as young men. Some translations say young men, talking about, you know, they're grown, they're mature, but they're not completely mature. They're young men, but there's some maturity to them. But I want you to notice that when John refers to them, he is referring to them as they have won their battle with the evil one. He's not talking about just getting saved. Again, he's talking about they've got that victory underneath. They've been into the battle. They know what it's like to fight temptation. They know what it's like to fight the devil in their home and whatever's going on in their life. And they've had that victory. They've experienced it. Now they can pass what they've learned on to others. As disciple makers, we need to offer them training, this group. We need to equip them to recognize their spiritual gifting and their heart for ministry and their abilities that they bring to the table and help them to use their personality and experiences in doing whatever God's called them to do in ministry. And then if they continue to grow, this person moves into what we call the leader. This group helps others grow in the truth like a parent helps a child grow in the truth. Now, one of the biggest differences between the server and the leader is the server here, he is other focused, and he or she can minister. They'll pour themselves into and they're thinking about just blessing in the moment. They are thinking about helping to grow spiritually, but they're not thinking about the process. They're just teaching that Bible study, or they're sharing the gospel, and they're not thinking about the process of spiritual growth. They're just doing that ministry. Where the leader, or as the Bible will describe here, like a spiritual parent, they see the whole process. A good, mature parent understands what the six-month-old needs, what the seven-year-old needs, what the 17-year-old needs, and then the freedom and encouragement to move on as they get older. They understand the process, and the leader understands the process in helping people guide, and they can guide them through all those stages wherever they are. If you've ever been in a hospital and you've been there where someone is giving birth, there's several people in the same room, okay? When the baby's born, there's a baby. Ah, okay. But there's also usually a doctor and maybe a nurse or two. And then you also have the mom, the dad, but hopefully both of them, sometimes just one. But there's usually a parent there. There has to be a parent there at the birthing. Not usually. If there's a birthing in the process happening and there's no parent there, something freaky's going on. Okay. All right, so you got at least a parent, you got a baby, you got a doctor, you got a couple of nurses. Now, the doctor and nurses, they are very similar to the server. We're here to help. We're going to get this baby born. We're going to help your parents just get some things started. We're going to give you some stuff. Boom, baby's born. Wow, that's great. Wow, did my job. Here you go, mom and dad. And out the door they go. Okay? They're very giving, generous. They can help. They can bless. But the leader is like the parent who holds the baby and go, man, this is like a lifelong commitment. You know, and they have the parent's heart. They're not going to abandon the kid. They're going to walk with the kid. They're going to help the kid grow, and they're going to do those kinds of things. They have a parent heart. And that's that stage. That's the leader stage. Now listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 4:14. And listen to the parent language. It says, I am not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. Now, this is Paul writing to a Corinthian church who most of them are right here. Very worldly. I mean, if you read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, man, they're all messed up. And he's writing to them, to the babies in Christ. They're still very worldly. But he's expressing this parent love for them. I warn you as my beloved children, for even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father, meaning he came, he shared the gospel, he led many of them to the Lord, and he was their spiritual father in that sense. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you, so I urge you to imitate me. So he's saying, look, I'm down the road further than you are on this. He said, you guys need some guidance. You need a good example. I'm going to teach you the word. You are like my children. I'm going to help you through a lot of this baggage and mess that you've gotten yourself into. Because 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it's really, if you study that book and you divide it up, it's really, they have asked about some problems. They said, we've got this going on. We got this going on. We got this going on. We got this going on. And he received all this and he wrote down some thoughts inspired by God. And so if you go through the letter, it's like, okay, here's that problem you mentioned. Here's what you need to do. Here's that problem you mentioned. Here's what you need to do. Here's that problem. Again, he's having to spoon feed them. Okay. He's saying, here's what you need to do. But he has this parent's heart. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, we hear the same thing. The same guy is writing the same thing, but to a different church. And this church is a little bit more mature, but he says, although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you. Watch this. As a nursing mother nurtures her own children. We cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us. Jump down to verse 11. The Bible says, as you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged and comforted and implored each one of you to walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Do you hear the spiritual parent language? I mean, he is saying, man, we were like moms to you, and we were like dads to you, and we loved you, and we encouraged you, and we helped you to grow, and that was our heart. Well, that's the leader. The leader is, they just see all these people in their life, and they were able to recognize where they are spiritually, and they have a heart to help them to grow into the next level. So when a spiritual young adult is ready to become a spiritual parent, what they need from disciple makers is to be released and just simply supported. But like any natural parent, spiritual parents need some training and advice along the way. How many of you stood there holding your first child saying, I got this. Man, this ain't nothing. I got it all figured out. Because for the last 5 years, I've been saying, well, when I become a parent, here's how it's going to work. Well, then you become a parent and you say, you know what? None of that works. And you need folks who've been there, done it, to help you. If you're wanting to be a spiritual parent in that leader category, you're going to need to receive from others who are further down the road on that. All right, let's wrap it up. It doesn't matter what age you are when it comes to these stages. Some of you have been in church a long time. You know, you've been reading your Bible a long time. But you're sitting here today and you're struggling with because for years you just thought you were somewhere over here because you've been going to church forever. Yeah. And you're sitting here going, you know what? I may be over here. You know? Oh, you may be able to turn to Ephesians 4 and all that kind of stuff and know where it's at and quote some Bibles, but really, you're not really serving anybody much, you know? And you're not really parenting anybody spiritually. You're not coaching anybody to become stronger in their walk with God. But you're finding yourself down here. And that's okay because this is great. If that's you, man, now you know. Now all the other believers around you, especially this group over here, now they can go, phew, he finally found out that he's not as mature as he thinks he is. A person may be more spiritually mature in one area than another. Remember, I said that at the very beginning? Now, you may be very mature with your finances, as I stated, but you may not be very mature in your words or your emotions. You're not emotionally mature. And that's an area you need to work on. You still may be very self-centered in some areas in your life, but there may be some other areas in your life that you're very much of a servant. And God's saying, look, let's work on some things. And once a person becomes a spiritual parent does not mean they always will be a spiritual parent. They can backslide. There are some guys I know, they were way over here. Man, they were pastoring, leading life groups, man. Even some of them were even writing books. All that stuff. They were helping people grow. And somewhere in their mind and their thinking, their heart, they got distracted and they backslid and they just kept going, you know, and to where I'm thinking this one guy in particular I know in Kansas City, he's not going to church, he's not in ministry or anything, but he used to be a pastor. And when you talk to him, he still believes he's a believer, he still has a love for Jesus, but it's like he's just given up and he's come all the way back to where you almost, it's like you have to spoon feed him. Saying, look, man, the Bible says this, and here's what it means for you. And, you know, and that's just where he's at. He's got a lot of sinful baggage back up on his life. It's sad. And the sages will help with ministry decisions as well. Every ministry has a target. Now, I'm going to talk to some of you who are servants and leaders as we wrap this up down here. You're in charge of a ministry. I want to encourage you that when you're sitting down and you're thinking about ministry and you're planning an event, always ask the question, who does this event, who does this life group, what is this program we're doing, who does it really target? Not who do you want it to target, who does it really target? You know, sometimes we're targeting this guy here, this is who we want, but we plan it as if this is the person we're targeting. You know, so we're going to have a Bible study, we're going to do some devotions, we'll have 30 minutes of prayer, we're going to have some worship time. This guy don't care nothing about that. Usually, okay? So as a minister, you need to think, okay, who are we targeting with this thing? Now, to help you grow spiritually as we wrap this up, you know what I like being out here? We don't have to be out by noon. You know, I keep looking at the clock thinking, man, I got to wrap this up, got to wrap it up. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. Now, the parents who are sitting there with their kids, like normally in gen kids, they're saying, oh, yeah, you need to wrap this up. But to help you grow, no matter where you are, to help you grow to the next stage or to, even as a leader, to just to develop some things, we're going to be offering life groups next week. You can sign up for them. They will begin right after Easter. Some target one stage, some target others, some overlap. But now on the life group, don't walk up there saying, okay, where are the ones for the leaders? Because that's where I'm at. It's not going to be advertised like that. Or saying, well, I'm a believer. I don't know a whole lot. You know, where's that one? No. You just walk up. You will know. When you walk up, which one's for you? You say, man, that's what I need. Okay, God's going to talk to you, and you're going to read the descriptions, and you're going to go, man, that's the one. That's the one I need right now. I want to encourage you to get into a life group. Be faithful to it and just attend to it. Most of them last between 6 to 12 weeks, and you just get in there and you read the material. You go to that life group for about an hour, hour and a half, and you discuss it on what it means to you, how it applies to you, and you're able to encourage and sharpen and challenge one another. Okay, if life groups are new to you, they just simply meet at a home. Nothing freaky happens, okay? There's nothing weird. You know, it's going to happen. It's simply you just go and you discuss what you read and you just have a good time for about an hour, hour and a half. So I want to encourage you to sign up. One of the primary ways that we want to help lead you in all this is through the life groups. Okay, at this time I'd like for the band to go ahead and join me up here as we wrap this thing up. Now, okay, so we've walked through these five stages. I asked you at the very beginning to pay attention to which one you are. So now, no showing of hands, okay, I'm not asking. We're not going to say, okay, who's a seeker? Who's a believer? You know, we're not doing that, okay? In your heart, I just want you to say out loud in your mind, not out loud with your mouth, but just to you, I want you to say clearly to yourself where you think you are. Okay, you got it? Now, if you said, that's where I'm at, we gave you some guidance and directions on what you need to do next. Okay? Say, God, I want to grow. How can I do that? Well, we gave you some directions, so go and do it. Okay? You know, we're like spiritual coaches. We see a lot of potential sitting in you, and we want to help you to go to the next level. We want to help you do that. Now, if you're one of those who says, you know what, I don't know, man. I'm struggling. All right? And you want to know, fill out the welcome card, put it in the box. Let us get a hold of you, talk to you, sit down, and help you discover where you're at. Okay? Sound like a plan? Okay. You guys hungry? Okay, because we're staying around. We're going to eat, and we're going to kind of do some fellowship. But if some of you guys got to go, I know that. All right. Hey, why don't you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much that you love us, that, Lord, you want us to grow spiritually. And, Lord, it doesn't matter what stage we're at, Lord. We all start at the seeker. And for us to grow, if we do become a leader, we all go through the same stages. We all have the similar struggles and thoughts and wrestle with the same things. And, Lord, I just thank you that we don't have to journey by ourselves. We don't have to grow by ourselves, Lord. We have people around us who are at the same stage we are at and who are ahead of us who can help us to grow. Lord, I want to thank you for how you work in a body of believers called a church. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to be clear on where we're at and what we need to do to grow. And so, Lord, again, we love you for saving us and giving us this opportunity to grow in your truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, did you worship God today?
Yes.
All right. Did you receive from his word today?
Yes.
You're going to do something with it?
Yes.
I forgot one of them, but it doesn't matter. You just need to go do whatever it is you're going to do with it. All right.